initiate continue to follow the astral form or that of the coming successor? Do all masters appoint a successor?
The initiate who's been initiated by some master who has left physical plane, but he desires to be initiate forever, never leaves him till the end of the world. So he will be connected with that master by whom he was initiated, and for satsang purposes he should attend the other one who is fallen.
What did Swamiji of Agra smoke in his hookah? Why did Jamal follow someone who smoked?
Why? I think they had to smoke on their own business. You need not smoke. Because I tell you one thing, the man who lives in the snakes, I'll give you an example, who thought that incantation power, he is not bitten by the snakes. But all others will be bitten by the snakes. Don't copy him, but do what he says.
Does a doctor assume his patient's karma when he heals them?
If he exerts, then he might contact by sympathy, now sympathy. But if he does a duty in sweet remembrance of God, leave everything to him, then he is not to contact any karma.
Who or what is the Antichrist? What is the negative power?
What is in your mind? It always wishes to be away to the outer things in that, attached to the outer thing, not print out from there and have this within.
Says yesterday you said that eating wrong foods could cause sickness. The questioner thought that sickness was the result of past karma. Would Master please explain the cause of physical disorders?
You know there are courts, small cause courts and high courts and privy council courts. The small cases are decided in a week or so, or a month. Higher still in months, and privy council case years. So, what if you say you have the result of falling in a day or two or a week? That is small cause courts, you see. And the higher course that takes time, you see, may be taken to the next bus.
An associate made up her mind to leave the path. Why does this happen?
Because in his control of mind, he's led away by mind. But you come to a master, as Christ said, Satan wait. Then it's all right, let Satan come forward, then. You must delay your progress.
What will happen to the person, Master?
Who?
The one who left the path.
He cannot go away. He's brought back sooner or later. He may leave, but Master won't leave him. He gives a long rope, of course.
Dear Master, if an initiate thinks she has the knee, is permissible to seek the help of an analyst or a psychiatrist or a counselor?
Yes, if it's physical illness, he might. If he can fully relax and come in contact with the sound principle within, that has got curative power itself.
Says, Master, we are getting married in a few weeks. Would you say a few words about marriage?
Marriage, you see, according to the scriptures, if followed, there is peace. Scriptures say marriage means it is a sacrament, first of all, not a contract. If God is united, that no power disunite. So marriage means taking a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe, and both help each other to know God. That you may have a In one duty, maybe I'll be getting children when it is wanted. Now there is no machine of enjoyment, you see. In the married people must have some time in life where they should lead life, chaste life. After all, they have to go back to God.
Dear Master, is being aware of a person's physical dimensions without desire a default in chastity?
I don't follow what is meant by that.
I think this means observing the physical form of someone without desiring them. That's what I would interpret.
Well, that is the man originally who took that, what he said, what he wants.
Who wrote it? Master wants to know
what is that?
I'm saying if you're aware of someone's physical form, if you notice their dimensions without desiring them, if you're aware of their body,
if you're aware of the beauty of their form without desiring them, is this a fault? Should you mark as a fault in chastity?
If that affects his low life, why not?
He said if it's no offense, why not observe them? Does Master feel that it is proper for widows and widowers to remarry?
You want my way or what scripture say, you see? Scripture all say peaceful life is one for one. And the remarried, read Moses' orders, commandments. Read for yourself. I'm not against what you have got in your customs, but to read Moses' commandments on the subject. Very detailed commandment is given there.
His husband has died.
That depends on the custom, please.
Depends on the custom.
In East, they don't like. How many men can love? Love is not love, it's children.
While I'm withdrawing from the body just before breaking through, I have a struggle about whether I will make it in my mind. Then often I yawn and what's my attention? My attention is gone. What should I do?
If you leave it, do effortless effort, then there's no problem. If you effort, the very effort stands in the way.
I think one of the things that from your questions that we've noticed that when Master is here, we clutch even more than we do when we meditate alone sometimes. We try harder. We expect more. And he keeps telling us every day, relax and let me pull you through. And I know this is one of my big faults. I clutch and I shouldn't be. I get in a hurry. When fixing the gaze, do we look from without into the third eye, or do we look from the third eye into what is in front of us?
Your third eye is the bag that opens only when you rise above body consciousness, not before. That opens into the beyond. Outer eye is a different thing.
Your instructions in meditation are to look out, I believe.
In front, that is to save tension.
Yes.
That is to save tension only.
Master, could you state simply whether long hair on males is a hindrance on the path? I thought we got that one yesterday.
If you are always dressing your hair when sitting, then it's a hindrance. Sometimes I see dogs venture, then again to put it at the back. They're not in the habit. When they form habit there, but always dressing the hair, I think that will stand in the way. Why the better bind it? So that there may be no. But that is no lie, you see. Hair don't grow long than what is required, nature requires.
During meditation, the eyes drop below the horizontal level. Then the white clouds and colored lights are more easily seen. Says here, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And do you believe we are saved by Jesus' shed blood?
All masters who sent by God are sons of God. We respect them, we love them.
Says, I noticed that you and Maribaba were born the same month and year. Have you met with him? Could you tell us if he was a perfect master?
He invited me when his followers were Gene Edgar, who wrote his life, by which thousands were people attracted to him. He was initiated. He was initiated here along with other. Then he came up over here. Then he went back. He invited me to come over there. I didn't go. He embraced me very lovingly and told me, well, all right, follow him what he said. And that's all, I met him. And he said, I won't die. But he did die, God knows why.
Dear Master, when you leave the room and give your blessing as you are walking out, are you blessing us all equally, or do you just bestow a special blessing on those only upon whom you look at individually?
By radiation, who are receptability more.
Is there a way for us to know if we are about above? Is there a way for us to know if we are above body consciousness?
That is what you decide when you are not above body consciousness, and you won't think of the world. Do you see the world then? You know whether you are risen above body consciousness. You know. Nobody else will reply to you or testify. When you see life within, you are cut off from the physical side, the outside. That you know.
How are we, how are our companions chosen, and how should they be maintained?
Everybody loves such a man who is got of the same inclination, same habits. But we should just see what is the ideal before us. If you are after God, then select such as like people who have got spiritual mind. Those who got worldly things, and naturally they select those who are in the worldly way. Who are a businessman, they see the company of some businessman who will be helping.
Does being unclean physically impair spiritual meditation?
When you rise above body consciousness, then to be clean, all right, you'll be wide awake, you'll be bright and buoyant. To keep it in a temple of God, keep it clean. But when you rise above body consciousness, whether it is clean or not, you rise above it. This is a question who are adept in it for them. Others should be wide awake, quite fresh and buoyant.
Please explain that on interviews one should ask for spiritual progress and not mundane family affairs.
If you go to a king, then what will you ask? You will ask only ordinary, what you say, pennies or something more valuable. Naturally, if you come to a master, he has got the spiritual wealth. Others also go, there is nothing that cannot be had at his feet. But others have what he is specially meant for, what others cannot give, and that is spiritual wealth.
I think that's perfectly clear and obvious that when we come to Master, we should be seeking spiritual improvement in ourselves and help in this respect. What is selfless service on the diary?
Selfless service in which you have got no personal interest for return. Maybe somebody is sick, the servant man serves his own relatives, his own relations, that's all right, his own brothers, but those with whom you have got no selfish motives, that's the selfless servant. And where yourself is not involved, direct.
Some men say all souls will be with God, but others say some will end up on a lesser plane. Which is true?
Who has the two gone to this plane? Let them stand up. Well, only they just driving at certain questions, practically they don't know. To know God, even you in the body, when you little as you have no God, then the plane, higher planes also. There are so many mentions in the house of our father. So life is affecting. See, you know God, that's all right. Degrees of knowing God. One is direct distance to it, the other are the mouthpiece, the other only for a while when it should be habitual radiation. So that depends on that.
About wearing or using leather goods, does this bring about karma?
In all sins, least sin to go on with. To breathe is also a sin. Go read, I mean, Wheel of Life, you find in detail. You breathe as also a sin. You eat that is also, but of least degree. The all sins are washed away when we become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, not before. So we have to live on the least sin and know Him.
Please indicate or explain how we disciples on the spiritual path are to keep from discoursing among ourselves after a meeting.
That I think already given for spiritual matters you are not to discuss with anybody. He may guide you, not very correct. Then, for spiritual matter, contact with me and dialogue with the Master. If you discuss something, one man says something, the other says other thing, may not be correct, very correct. One has got more experience, the other got less. The man who has got more, he will be elated, the other will be disappointed. Each man has his own way of progress. For spiritual matters, remain in contact with the Master. No, you are discussing it. They won't help you. Either they will bring you some doubt or something, disappointment, or some elation.
If an initiate prays for the mental or physical healing of another person, does the initiate risk taking on the person's illness or karma?
Yes, he will exert, surely.
If one is to die, I understand that he is to have 3 days' notice from you. Will you come and tell us on the inside, even though we have...
No hard and fast rule, but he becomes conscious even weeks before, according to his own development.
Says even though you've been unable to reach the radiant form of the Master, that was the end of it...
Lots of people don't reach the radiant form.
No, they've got some information that they're going, you see.
Yes.
Though they do not see the radiant form, but they have informed me, yeah, you're going ready.
What is the best method for purifying the mind?
You're giving me high bliss?
And what?
when you give him more higher bliss, more enjoyment in something as compared with the outward enjoyment, naturally leave out such enjoyment.
Master, under which heading in the diary form should I put my incapacity to gather up attention in meditation?
There's no heading there.
No heading there.
What you don't put it off till tomorrow. What you can do today. Procrastination is the thief of time. Do what you can do today. Don't put it off till tomorrow or after some year. Who knows, that time will come or not.
Some initiates say you have given them permission to eat infertile eggs, and many are now practicing this in their diet.
You should stand up.
Stand up.
Who says I have permission?
Anyone that says I have permission.
Well, they will go by hell, say you.
Don't be bashful.
They will simply go by hell.
Great Master does not allow to eat fertile or unfertile eggs. That's a category of meat and is not...
That place of passion is very clear. It's very first condition.
But the time is running short, so
please explain how we can fall in love with the Master. I am ashamed that I do not have real love for the Master.
Because he does not live up to the commandments of the party. That's only. If you want to please somebody, what should you do? Just have such a life which is pleasing to him. And what life is pleasing to him? Great life, good life, sympathetic life, who helps to others, who does not torment anybody, who does not usurp anybody's rights, who is honest or not. These things will please him. Who puts in regular time to meditation, comes in contact with the higher self, his life will change, and I think that will be to the Master. There will be more love there too.
Master, I wonder if you, since it's a nice outdoor meeting, and the last time we had an outdoor meeting like this, you told us the difference in trying and doing.
Yes. Trying is half-heartedness. Doing definite. And moreover, when you come into contact with the light and sound principle within, that is the expression of, outer expression of God. The God is love, the more you come in contact with love, that will overflow. Love it will overflow within you. And the more you come in radiation of the Master to the offering love, still more you, by receptivity, you have more love. Love will flare up. These are the things.
Can we have an ashram in Miami?
It's up to you. You can maintain it. That's a good idea, of course.
When concentration is imperfect and the Master form appears and reappears for brief instances, is it due to the negative power or our unreceptive state? Should we report the Master form?
That the criterion has been given to you already. Repeat the five names. If that does not stand before it, it is negative. If it does stand, it is real. It comes up because sometimes, to give assurance to the initiate, I am with him.
Last question. In bhajan, I hear rumbling and high-pitched humming. Should I listen to the higher pitch to go higher?
Continue. What is the higher? Which is more clear, follow that. Which is more clear, follow that. So whom should you love? Naturally, if you love somebody who is
coming and going. Naturally, we'll have to come back. We follow him wherever he goes. If we love somebody in whom God is manifest, naturally, where will you go? Where he will go? If he is not to return back, then you are not to return back. What will he say? He says, well, this man body, you have got the highest rung in creation. You are fortunate. But the highest aim before you is to know God. That you can do only in man body and no other body. That you got fortunately, you have got it already with the grace of God. So this is your turn to see God, to meet God. All other things, these are to be paid off, all debts, giving and taking, you see, and the reaction of the past. Whom you love naturally, it follows that you have to just do what he says. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what does he say? Well, this is I turn to meet God, man body, the highest rung in creation, you have got by the grace of God. Make the best use of it. What is the best use of it? To know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves. Self-knowledge precedes God knowledge. Not as a matter of inference or feeling, but as a matter of self-analysis, rising above body consciousness. When you know self, you know the old self which is controlling you in the body. Now what is the expression of that God into expression power? God is light and God is sound principle. When you withdraw from outside, rise above body consciousness, you see with the inner eye open the light of God. And here the sound of the nada of God. One who is competent in that, he is called a saint, he is called a sadhu or sadhu. So best thing to whom we should love is such a person in whom God is manifest. So when you near such a man, you see, you come across and his pole where that powerhouse is connected, you see, you come nearer to powerhouse. So Maulana Rum says, when you come across a true master, you come nearer to God, because God is manifest in him. So coming to his feet, by radiation you get withdrawal too. The more your attention is riveted in him, the more you think of him, the more you are drawn with him. And your soul withdraws from the body, you see the light of God. So this is the feet of a master. In the world, man body, the highest ideal before us is to know God. But to know God, we must meet with somebody in whom He is manifest, who can also manifest in us the same God power working within us. So he does not ask you to leave the world and go to the forest, you see. He says, remain in the world, pay up all debts, give and take, which you have to do as a reaction of the past. Pay off those sweetly and direct your footsteps to God. Yes? Those who can guide you that way, he is called a master. There is no reserve right any of outer any religion, you see. Masters have been coming in all religions. You remain anywhere you like, but meet such a master, you see, in whom he is manifest and who has the competency to make that power of God manifest in you. Such a man, while living in the world too, when he is always thinking of God, you see, naturally where will you go? To God. If you are tied to the world, naturally you will have to come back again and again. Man body is the highest rung in creation, fortunately. We have got it already. And the best use of it is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves. It's a practical subject of self-analysis that can be demonstrated by someone who rises above body consciousness daily. So this is what I will tell you, whom we should love in the world. You see?
Good evening. Welcome to the satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was from a question and answer session on 8 December 1972. This was at Birth State Park in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The conclusion included a portion of morning talk titled, Whom Should We Love? Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hi, Christine.
Hello, Pradeep. And good evening to everyone here. Tonight, I'm going to continue reading Master's talk called I Am Thine, Thou Art Not Mine, which can be found in the March 1971 Satsang Desh. Because he speaks of what he has seen, the Guru's thoughts are invaluable. The seeker who really wants the Lord will receive, for he himself will make the arrangements for meeting that personage in whom he is manifested. He opens the eye and shows the soul that feast which lies beyond bondage. There is a feast of all feasts within, a feast of jewels. Those who are familiar with the Japji Sahib will remember the words, within is the jewel of jewels. Listen to the Guru's teaching. The Master's way of describing the truth is very clear and open. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Whoever has a sincere yearning for the Lord will most definitely get him. Many will say, I want God, but they should analyze their desire and see why they are wanting God. It will be discovered that they really want the health of their children, wealth, name and fame, the removal of their unhappiness, or peace in the hereafter, and many other things. Everyone seeks solicited favors. No one really wants God and God alone. All cry out for worldly satisfaction, and God goes on granting their wishes. The Father, Merciful Kripal, has ordered thus, whatever a child wants, he shall be given. And he who truly desires the Lord and the Lord alone most definitely will get his heart's desire. Such single-pointed devotion is the ideal condition for realizing the Lord. I do not want Swarg or heaven, or Vaikunth, or higher heaven. I only want to repose in the lotus feet of my Guru. How can one reach God if he desires the fruits of this world or the next? Comb your heart and find out if you truly want the Lord. True desire does exist, but it is very rare. In no other expression but the human form can a soul realize God. Who will succeed in this? The Guru Mukh. And who is the Guru Mukh? He who is close to the Guru. He whose eyes meet the Guru's and become one. He whose soul is one with the Guru. How can a person who does not even know how to sit in his master's presence be called a Guru Mukh? The eyes are the windows of the soul, and the inner wealth is the property of the Guru Mukh, not the Man Mukh, or the mouthpiece of the mind. He who obeys the Guru's every word will realize the Lord. But we choose to modify his commandments to our own way of thinking. We forget that when the Guru power initiates It remains with the disciple watching his every move and does not leave him until he has arrived in the Lord's lap. Christ said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." How would one recognize a Guru Mukh? They keep the Guru overhead and live upon his wishes. The Guru is constantly apparent to the Guru Mukh, who knows that all his actions are observed by his Guru. He who is always aware of that ever-existent presence will never disobey. Kabir says, "This kind of disciple has no fear in all three regions." It is also said, "The servant in the Guru's house has implicit obedience in his mind. He has no self-value and his heart ever repeats God's name." You are fortunate to come to the Guru's door, but most people consider themselves above others and will push themselves to the fore. Even among themselves, they start fighting. One should be grateful if one's smallest service is accepted in his vineyard. All work will be successful from that servant who sells his mind to the Satguru. A Manmukh will never know what a guru is. He thinks he is like himself. Like a field of sesame with the seeds already harvested. A plant from a sesame seed sprouts and then dies. He who attempts to realize God through mind and senses and not through a guru's power falls down in his efforts and never reaches his goal. However, he who obeys the Guru's word will succeed. Christ told his disciples to keep my commandments. Even if you obey the Master's words blindly, you will benefit. Kabir Sahib says, "In the court of the Lord, there is nothing lacking. If any failing is found, it will be in the manner of our service." Think deeply on these points. Where do you stand? If you live by surrendering yourself completely to his will, you will reach the highest goal. While you do not surrender, you will find failings. There are many palaces within where the Lord resides. The macrocosm is in the microcosm. There are worlds within worlds inside the physical form. Whatever the Brahmand is, so is the pind, or body, and he who searches will receive. Beyond the body is the and, or astral. Then Brahmand, or causal, Parbrahm, beyond causal, and Satlok, or Satchkhand, true place, or region. All these planes are within you. The experience of them starts when you leave pind, when you rise above body consciousness. What does everlasting mean? That which never dies. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Of what value are all worldly things if you do not realize who you are and who the sustainer is? What will you have to your credit? In the Japji Sahib, Guru Nanak has explained this beautifully. He said, "If one could extend one's life to four ages, nay, make it 10 times longer, if one were known throughout the 9 planes of creation, and everyone therein followed him with respect. If every creature praised him to the skies, all this and more has no value if God's eye looked not kindly upon thee. We can gain the greatest blessing in this human form, but we choose the world, which is much loved by us. We tend to wave aside our higher aspirations and comment vaguely, "This world is sweet. Who has seen beyond it?" The famous Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore had great insight in summing up this very situation when he prayed, "O Lord, I know that in you is limitless wealth, but I cannot empty this house of mine of its rubbish. All glory and beauty lie within this form, but it can be experienced only by rising above the body. You can say that one dies while living, or you can say that one is twice born. Having tasted such nectar, why return to the world with its insipid display of wines? We are ever engaged in trying to improve our worldly conditions and surroundings, never giving a single thought to the subject of spirituality. But in the end, everything will go." How did Valmiki, who was previously a famous robber, become a saint? He used to rob people and live on the loot. But one day, unknowingly, he tried to rob a saint, and the saint said to him, "Look here, this that you do is not good. Your mind makes you do it, but tell me frankly, is it a good thing?" Valmiki agreed that it was very bad, but when the saint asked him why he continued doing it, he said, "It is my living. I have a wife and children to support." The saint said, "All right, you know that you are committing sins, but go and ask your wife and family if they will share the responsibility of those sins with you." Valmiki laughed and accused the saint of intending to run away, but the saint said, "You may tie me to this tree, but you should go home and get the answer to this question." Valmiki had become quite intrigued with the subject and agreed. When he reached his home, he explained the situation to his wife and children, fully confident of their love for him and fully expectant that they would support him. But they all said, "Why should we share your sins? We want food and we don't care where or how you get it. That is your affair. How can we share the responsibility for what you are doing?" Shaken to the core, Valmiki went to the saint and begged his forgiveness. That dacoit became Maharishi Valmiki, a great saint who went into such deep and long samadhi that the bees made their hives in his hair. He wrote the Ramayana, the story of Lord Rama, in verse, many thousands of years before Lord Rama came to the earth. So you see, a man can change. He but requires some worthy aim in life. For those who love the world, the beyond does not exist. But for those who long for the beyond, this world and heaven, and even above heaven, has no meaning in their lives. A devoted soul desires only the beloved's love. He wants to see him. The very last words of the Guru Granth Sahib are, "O God, give me thy darshan." He who sees the Lord in everything is the beloved of the Lord. Maulana Rumi says that compared to the vastness of the worlds within, this world is not even the extent of an atom. What a magnificent abundance of life there is within us. Those who have tasted the joys of the beyond find no satisfaction in the world. They live by the orders of the Most High. To realize through the mind will bear fruit from which you will never return. At present, the mind desires those things it cannot get. When it realizes the truth, the whole of nature will be at its beck and call. Underlying, its desire is for permanent happiness, and when it gets this, all coming and going in the world will cease. While it remains within the scope of the three regions, it will continue to return to the earthly sojourn, and not until it gains access beyond Brahman will the soul be truly free. Heaven, hell, again and again, birth. The ABC of spirituality starts where the mind and senses are not. Maulana Rumi Sahib says, while we do not rise above, we are ignorant of that invisible's picture. All practices concerning outer knowledge are connected with body, mind, intellect, and senses, and whenever they cease to function, spirituality starts from there. He who is qualified protects the wealth the Guru gave him. The rare, invaluable Nam, only some Guru Mukhs receive. The majority of those who listen do not absorb. They merely hear. Gold is a rare and valuable metal, but without purchasers, it will remain in the shop. The spiritually qualified are called atheists by the unqualified. Guru Nanak was so called. Some realized men were skinned alive. Some were hanged or crucified. Some were burned alive or made to sit on a red-hot plate. Practically, every conceivable indignity has been perpetrated upon them. So only those who truly know can have respect for this precious gift. Body should be the Guru's. Mind should be the Guru's. Then, he says, you get the Parabrahm. One can understand why he says, he who is qualified protects the wealth, and he who becomes a Guru Mukh will get it. What will you get by searching outside when it is within you? Some spend their whole lives searching among outer things. But those who are fortunate will find, like Guru Amar Das, that the treasure they seek lies within themselves. In the illusion, the whole world forgets itself. As Manmukh, your self-respect has gone. As long as we remain in illusion, we will wander aimlessly without roots. The Manmukh spends his whole life in forgetfulness and then dies in it. Then, where does he go? Wherever your thoughts are will be your abode. But true seekers are the fortunate ones to grasp the facts. When Guru Amar Das Ji received the treasure, he explained the facts so minutely that there can be no more doubt. He said, after leaving your own true home, You made this lie your abode. Caught like a thief, without the nom, you got the punishment. This body is like a huge granth, which is the Sikh holy scripture, or a big Bible, Quran, or Veda. Whatever the masters discovered within their books, they clearly gave out to mankind. He who goes within will realize the truth. They have told of the real values of life, but without going within, one will never benefit from their words. Merely following the letter of the word will not give you experience. Even if you read and fully understand what is written, you will not experience the same. Understand what I am saying, and then go and search for it. A great part of your life has faded away. Make the best use of what is left. If we really want God, we will definitely get Him. Use your awareness wisely, for only in this human life can you receive the abundance of wealth, and in no other. We may have succeeded in every phase of life, intellectually, physically, but what have we done for our true self? Just think, where are you going and what are you doing? He who returns to his true home will get all happiness, for within he will recognize the Brahma, or God, and acknowledge his Guru's greatness. He who taps inside and enters his own home gets food for the soul and eternal bliss. His aimless wandering will cease. Guru Amar Das Ji has described all actions at the level of senses as beating the husk to try and gather the non-existent grain. He says also that it is like a man who worked from morn till night but received no payment and returned home tired and unhappy. All karmas and dharmas, actions and righteous actions, come under this category. Only by the Guru's grace can you realize the Brahma within. The Guru's greatness is thus demonstrated. This is not through ego that he says so, but it is just a statement of fact. They do not speak through pride, but merely state, yes, we have seen it. When they are asked if they have got anything, they say, yes, we have received God's gift. He who becomes a Guru Mukh will also receive. When the Lord so wishes, He Himself will show the way. By repeating the Nam, the soul becomes glorified at the court of the Lord. By repeating the Nam, they return to their true home. O Nanak, their faces are radiant with freedom. It matters not to which religion, caste, or country one belongs. He who gets the connection with the Lord will gain salvation. He will become what the books describe through that very power of which they speak. O my mind, repeat the Nam, this wealth which the Satguru has given. For whom is this teaching? All Master's words are uttered for one and all. And why is this? Because all teachings of the Masters are alike. So remain in your own religion. Keep your own customs. But do the real work ahead of you. Millionaires will leave their millions behind. Those who have mud huts will leave them. This body did not come with you and will not accompany you when you return. Yes, you will take your actions with you. And that ends this reading of Masters. I am thine, thou art not mine. And I am going to spend the next 5 minutes beginning another reading, which begins with a hymn by Kabir called Significance of Satsang. I am entrapped in the city of thieves, while my life is a thirst for satsang. In satsang lieth much benefit, for it swiftly reveals the master within thee. But fools do not understand its significance. During satsang is showered a veritable rain of ambrosia. Indeed, thou hast held in thy fist worthless stones of worldly goods, and thrown away the diamond of the word, whose value none can measure. Kabir says, listen, ye brother seeker, from this house the body, take thy soul to that house. Kabir. I'm going to begin a reading called Think of Death. Master says, well, he begins with a hymn from Swamiji, none is thy true companion among worldly relations. Why sleep ye among these cheats? We have before us a psalm of Swamiji Maharaj. You may go through the writings or devotional songs of any of the great souls. You will find that all have stressed the same point. Know thyself. It is said, recognize that thou art a sentient being. At present, we are unaware of our real self, as we are completely identified with the body. We look at the world from the physical level only. As such, it does not appear to us in its true colors. Matter is changing. The body and the world, which are composed of matter, are also changing. If two things are undergoing a relative change, that is not perceptible. Many a time I have tried to explain this phenomenon through an example. Suppose a boat is sailing in a river with the speed of the water current. The occupant of the boat would feel as if the boat is at rest, but one who is standing outside can clearly apprehend that the boat as well as the river are flowing with the same speed. In other words, an awakened soul, out of sheer compassion, draws our attention towards our sad plight. But, caught up in the mighty maze of matter, we pay no heed to his clarion calls. We have taken the physical mold as something real and think that we have to live permanently in this world. All great souls, however, tell us that the world is unreal, while the soul is real, something eternal, unchangeable, and permanent. There is an allusion in the epic Mahabharata that a question was once asked of King Yudhishthira by Yaksha. What is the most amazing thing in the world? The king replied, every day we see the people dying around us. Near and dear ones carry the dead people to the cremation ground or burial places. They even lit the funeral pyre with their own hands, and yet men think they will never die. It is indeed quite strange and ironical. Learned or illiterate, rich or poor, high or low, all suffer from the same delusion. What do the saints teach us? Learn how to transcend the tabernacle of flesh, and you would be able to perceive everything in a proper perspective. Then you can clearly apprehend the ever-changing panorama of life and will realize the truth of scriptural precepts. The world is impermanent and the soul is eternal. All great souls who came to this world of ours from time to time endeavored to draw our attention to these truths. Whether they expressed themselves through the Vedic mantras in Sanskrit or spoke in Persian or Arabic, but the essence of their teachings was the same. The world is not a permanent dwelling place for us. And here I will stop. I finished reading Master's talk called I Am Thine, Thou Art Not Mine, which is found in the March 71 Satsang Desh. And then I read a hymn by Kabir in the June 1969 Satsang Desh called Significance of Satsang. And I began Think of Death, which is in that same Satsang Desh, June 1969. Thank you, gracious Master.
Thank you, Christine, for reading for us. There were 53 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
What is the way back to God? First, humility. Second, humility. And third, humility. When you are humble, you learn something. When you know everything, naturally you are just stuck fast in your own self-assumed ignorance. It may be taken as truth, but that may be wrong.